A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A red letter G winds around a cluster of skyscrapers, the Gotham Group. Words appear beneath a golden geometric symbol, Temple Hill. A young woman stands before six older women in a classroom.
Okay, class. Today's song is The Clapping Song by Shirley Ellis. When you sing, I want to hear every word clearly and succinctly. Yumi?
Can you sing it first, Amber? After we see how you do it, we sing much better.
Okay. But just the first verse. 3, 6, 9, the goose drank wine. The monkey chewed tobacco on the streetcar line. The line broke, the monkey got choked, and they all went to heaven in a little rowboat.
Yay!
Thank you. Okay, is everyone ready?
Yes!
Okay, stand up. Now, what do we have to remember, my divas?
Say the word!
And?
Solve the threat!
Exactly. Hit it, Father Chi.
A priest, Father Chi, turns on a stereo.
Thank you very much.
Amber, the young woman, turns toward her class.
3, 6, 9, the goose drank wine. The monkey chewed tobacco on the streetcar line. The line broke, the monkey got choked. And they all went to heaven in a little rowboat. Clap, 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 clap.
Give me soul claps. The biggest claps you could give me. Very nice. Father Chi, I need soul claps. Come on.
Father Chi joins the older women of the class.
All right, are you ready for the next verse? I need to hear every single word as clear as you can. And then I need soul claps too.
Amber raises her arms.
And ready.
My mother told me if I was good, that she would buy.
Collects cash from a jar labeled Pay What You Can, ESL class. A student waves to Amber as she exits the classroom. Amber exits a building and unlocks a yellow bicycle leaning against the wall. She rides along a rain-dampened street at night.
Clap your hands and prepare to pat.
She rides up to a shop, Annie's Donuts. Inside, Amber washes dishes in the kitchen. Up front, a cashier counts bills and hands them to Amber.
Thanks, Lloyd.
You bet.
Check this out.
The cashier, Lloyd, holds up a GED transcript.
I passed.
Oh, dude! So proud!
Well, thanks to you.
As Amber bikes down a street, a chihuahua rides in her backpack. Amber buys a bag of food from a fast food restaurant. Next, she glances over her shoulder as she walks her bike along a path flanked by shrubs.
As you sing this little song.
Now, without her bike, she crouches to pass through an opening in a chain link fence into a parking lot filled with yellow school buses. Amber retrieves a large bag from a compartment on one of the buses, then steps onto the bus. Inside, clothes, school books, blankets, and other items lie on the back rows of seats. Amber sits in a row ahead of them, munching on the food she bought. She looks to her left and smiles.
You still hungry, Bobby, big boy?
She gives her dog Bobby a bite.
Good job.
She picks him up and gives him kisses. Now, she circles an apartment listing in a newspaper. Amber checks her wristwatch. A digital display with a blue backlight reads 11:54. She pulls two folded-up pieces of paper out of a folder in her notebook. She sets aside a letter from Carnegie Mellon University and unfolds a piece of handwritten sheet music. A title at the top reads, Feels Like Home. Amber looks toward the front of the bus. A middle-aged woman comes inside.
Mom.
Hi, baby.
You're late. Where have you been?
No, I know, but I brought you something. Look.
Amber's mom, Becky, kneels on the seat in front of her.
Got you some dinner.
She gives Amber a takeout box with a piece of cake inside.
This is dessert.
This is dessert, can't be dinner.
Nutritionist?
You're telling me nutritionists don't like cheesecake?
This is from the Copper Kettle. Do you sit at the bar?
I had one glass of wine. Just one.
You're not supposed to have any.
But it was just one.
So Oliver's back in the picture now?
No, not really. This is a way to get us some dinner.
This isn't dinner, Mom. You were supposed to look at apartments, not get cheesecake from Oliver.
Well, that's all that he could give me, so I took it. And I'm sorry that it's not good enough for you.
That's not...
Becky sits facing the other way. Amber looks down at the cheesecake. She grabs the fork sticking out of it. Amber takes a bite. Becky keeps her back to her.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's really good, Mom, actually.
Amber holds out the fork.
Here. Have some.
No, I don't want any.
Don't be mad. Just a
I'm
little
not mad.
Bite, I promise. It's the best cheesecake I've ever had, and you're saying no.
Becky grins. She takes a bite. Amber holds out her arms.
Right?
Yes.
It's very good.
Oh, it's so good. Oh. See, I told you.
Becky turns to face Amber.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Later, they each lie in their seats with pillows and blankets. Amber holds a book.
Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words. And never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea.
Yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me.
Amber rests the open book on her chest and stares downward.
Sore must be the storm. Some storm we're in, huh, baby?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
We're gonna be okay.
Okay. Way to aim low, Mom. We're gonna be awesome. We're gonna be spectacular.
Becky slides her hand over her seat back.
That's my girl.
Amber puts her hand in Becky's. Later, Amber sleeps. Her watch lights up. Its display reads 5:00. Amber stirs and presses a button on the side. She glances at the watch with bleary eyes. She sits up and looks toward the front of the bus.
Up and at 'em, kid.
By the driver's seat, Becky wears a yellow safety vest. She turns on the bus's interior lights. Amber gathers up the blankets, pillows, and other personal items into the large bag. She folds up the Carnegie Mellon hoodie she wore to sleep, then stuffs a small bundle of cash into the front pocket of her backpack. She puts Bobby gently in the large pocket and carries both bags toward the front of the bus.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, baby.
She kisses her mother's cheek.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Outside, the sky remains dark. Amber returns the bag to the compartment and strolls through the bus parking lot. Now, dawn breaks over a cityscape as cars move over bridges. A neon sign atop a building reads, Portland, Oregon, Old Town, with a figure of a leaping deer above the words. Amber rides her bike along a suburban street under morning light. She rides past a sign that reads, Rosemont Court, and dismounts. Inside, an older woman pets Bobby on her lap as Amber passes out donuts to other seniors in a lounge area.
Christian. John, good morning. Would you like a donut today?
She approaches an old man in a wheelchair.
Hey, Mr. Linder. It's me, Amber. Amber Appleton. You remember me?
Are we related?
No. I work here on the weekends, but I had some donuts, so I thought I'd stop by. You want one?
In a hallway, a staff member steps out of a room as Amber approaches.
Careful. It's category 3 in there today.
Could be worse.
Amber holds a donut in one hand and knocks on the door with the other.
Who is it?
It's me!
Oh, I thought so. Scram!
Amber goes inside.
Morning, Joan.
Has anyone ever told you that you are loud?
Good morning, Joan.
Good is a matter of opinion.
Well, here's a fact. Rainbow Sprinkle Donut, the best donut, and I saved it for you.
Mm-mm.
Amber sits in an armchair.
Okay, and I'll eat it.
Joan taps a coffee table. Amber sets down the donut. A violent show plays on a large TV.
Some soothing entertainment to start your morning?
Yep.
Joan focuses on the screen. Amber gives her a look.
Right. Could I use your shower? Our water heater's still in the fridge.
You know, when I was your age, we didn't have hot showers.
So is that a no?
Be my guest.
Amber rises.
You want to hear a joke?
That's a no.
You're gonna laugh this time. Ready? What do you call a fish with no eyes? Fish.
Joan gives her a steely glare.
Careful, Joan. One of these days, I will make you laugh.
Not if I make you cry first.
You couldn't make me cry if you tried.
Amber walks away. Joan, wearing a chic purple jacket, leans back on a spotless white couch in her elegant apartment. Next, Amber wheels her bike into a backyard and leans it against a tree. She approaches a sliding door on a porch and enters a kitchen.
Ricky! Good morning! Breakfast!
Amber sets down her bike helmet and takes Bobby out of her backpack.
Ricky! Come on, dude, we have school!
Ricky, a brown-haired teen, sits at the counter.
My BB-8 clock said 7:12. Yesterday was 7:13, Tuesday was 7:14.
What's your point?
You're waking me up a minute earlier every day.
You're on to me. The master plan is to eventually wake you up at 4 a.m.
Then midnight?
Then yesterday.
Before I even go to sleep, which would totally suck, but might be sort of cool because then we could eat breakfast together and stay up all night.
Mm-hmm. Your mom's home.
She's early too.
It's a conspiracy.
A woman in scrubs enters.
Good morning, Donna.
Hey, you too?
Hey, Mom.
How was work?
The night shift. It's life's rich pageant.
Amber washes her hands in a bathroom.
Amber! Ty's here!
Amber checks her face and hair in the mirror. She glances at her lips. She opens the mirror cabinet and scans the contents inside. She grabs a tube of lipstick. Next, she comes downstairs wearing lipstick and puts on her jacket. She looks at Bobby lying on a couch chewing a bone.
Please, don't get up.
Amber! You left this on the counter.
A foil-wrapped sandwich.
Right, thank you.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, sweetie. Have a great day, Amber.
Always.
A van waits outside. Ricky joins two other teens in the back while Amber joins the driver, Ty, up front.
Hendrix. Fox and Fox.
Hey, Amber.
Hey.
Ty gazes at her.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Jordan. Is that a coloring book? Because there are Marquez all over the pages.
Impressive.
Amber holds out the sandwich.
Thanks.
She nods with a tight grin as Ty takes it. The van moves along a highway. Inside, Jordan, a red-haired teen girl in the back, continues reading Love in the Time of Cholera by Marquez as the boy beside her scrolls on his phone. Ricky sits facing them. Up front, Ty finishes his sandwich as he drives. Ricky stares upward pensively.
We've had 31 days of school. That's 31 rides.
31 sandwiches, too, am I right?
So many sandwiches.
Okay, seriously, Ty deserves a sandwich because he has to leave the house way earlier than the rest of us.
And I'm the only one who owns a car.
That's true.
A car? Okay, well, this, not a car.
Technically, I don't think you own it.
Well, he's the only one with access to a car.
Yes, thank you, access.
Call it a vehicle.
I still fail to see how any of this warrants a sandwich.
Thank you.
Just saying.
I think Amber's got a crush on Ty. That's why she makes him a sandwich.
Amber stares ahead as her lips part. Ty watches the road. Next, students hang out in a parking lot outside a high school. A skateboarder attempts a flip trick and fails. A marching band rehearses in a field. A girl in a beret mimes playing an instrument with her empty hands. Amber and her friends get out of the van. The teen boy, Chad, wheels himself in a wheelchair.
Do you guys realize the marching band's been playing all year without a tuba? Somebody stole it over the summer.
Yeah, look at Ryan Gold. She looks weird.
She looks sad.
They've played half the football season without it, but now that state championships are coming up, if they don't have a tuba, they're automatically disqualified.
Okay, but who steals a tuba?
Someone who's really horny for it.
It's technically a sousaphone. You could get a lot of cash for one on the dark web.
Why don't they get another one?
Borrow it or rent it, I don't know.
Sure, Ty, why don't you just lend Ryan your extra tuba?
Sousaphone, nobody stepped up. About 3-4 grand should do it for a proper marching model.
Is she on the dark web right now?
I say we make the tuba this year's cause for the variety show.
Doesn't the school decide that?
Amber runs a variety show. She started it.
Okay, but how do we get people excited over a tuba?
Oh my God, sousaphone.
I don't know, but we have to. Just look at Ryan.
Jordan snaps a picture of Ryan, the girl in the beret. Inside, Amber walks with Ty.
Hey, Amber.
Hey, Leah.
Leah is awesome. You know she's auditioning for Oklahoma this year?
Is that right?
You know where this is going, Ty.
Yeah, I do.
Come on. Mr. Franks thinks you'd make a great Curly. We all do. We need you this year.
I don't know. Getting on stage in front of all those people, it's terrifying.
You play soccer in front of all those people.
Yeah, but I don't have to bust out with a show tune. Or wear a cowboy hat.
I think you look great in a cowboy hat.
Ty shifts his gaze as Amber opens her locker.
So I've been trying to text you, but I keep on getting delivery failure.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. I lost my phone, and I haven't had a chance to get anyone yet.
I was hoping we could have, like, a private conversation.
Cell phones aren't private. It's much better to stay off-grid. Plus, I am the only teenager in all of America who doesn't have a cell phone. How cool is that?
Not cool at all.
Now, in a drama classroom.
So, it takes place in a machine room.
Yes, so that's why
we're trying to bring you in on.
A teacher enters.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mr. Franks. Frank.
He wears a patterned shirt.
Take your shirt, Mr. Franks.
It's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what's going on over there?
No, it's just sort of some outdoor tableaus. Some people listening to music and sitting on a park bench. And trees and tennis. And
stylish, I like it.
I like it. One of them has a mullet. Very 80s, I like that.
Yeah, it's very you. We approve.
Franks?
Not necessarily in the 80s, but maybe it is.
Mr. Franks?
Appleton?
Can I show you something?
Sure.
Amber sits at a class computer. She points to the screen.
What am I looking at?
An email from Carnegie Mellon with the subject, congratulations.
Whoa! Wow, look at that!
Does that mean that
I... Yeah, you're being asked to audition at Carnegie Mellon. Amber's going to Pittsburgh. Look at this.
What?
What?
Of course she is.
That's amazing.
No way.
Her friends walk over.
It's your dream, Amber.
That's incredible. Oh, my God.
What song are you going to sing?
Pittsburgh. How are you going to get to Pittsburgh?
Amber stares at the email. Later, in a restaurant, she writes in her notebook, apartment goal, $2,400. Below it, she adds up a budget. Bobby sits in the backpack beside her. Below a total of $802. Amber writes, -$300 Pittsburgh flight? She looks at Bobby, then gives him a bite of her food. She pets his head and smiles.
Good boy.
Next, she wheels her bike along the bushy path and approaches the fence to the bus parking lot. She gets on the bus with the large bag of personal items and looks around.
Mom?
It's empty. Amber glances out of the bus. In a back row, she puts on her Carnegie Mellon hoodie.
Hey.
She glances up.
Bobby.
She lowers her head and furrows her brow. She watches the windows. later, Amber sleeps on the bus. Bobby puts his front paws on her ankle. Amber stirs. She lifts herself up and looks toward the front of the bus. She rubs her eye, gazes around, then looks down at Bobby. Amber looks over the seat in front of her. Becky's row lies empty, the pillow and blanket undisturbed. Amber's watch flashes. Next, she walks outside, then looks up and stops. A pickup truck idles outside of a house. Amber's brow tenses as she glares at the truck. She moves toward it. Amber opens the passenger side door and gets in. Becky sits in the driver's seat. She looks at her daughter with shining eyes and presses her lips together. Amber stares ahead. Becky touches Amber's arm.
I'm sorry, baby. I was so tired, I just fell asleep.
At all of us.
Becky looks away.
You have a stroke. He's asked us to move in, and I think we should do it.
Amber looks away, blinking rapidly.
So everything's fine now?
He has a good side.
Yeah, and a bad side.
Becky firms her lips and looks out the window.
We're gonna get caught. And it is getting cold outside.
I'd rather freeze my ass off on a bus than go back to Oliver's.
Why? He wants to help, and we still don't have enough money for an apartment.
What if we try the shelter again?
No. I'm not going to the shelter. No, so that I can have people questioning my parenting? No one can find out about us. You understand? Because if they do, I'll lose you. Let's just talk about this when you're in a better mood.
Amber and Becky each avert their gaze.
I got invited to audition for Carnegie Mellon.
Amber's eyes glisten. Becky turns toward her. Amber grins and nods. Becky leans over and hugs her.
Your dad would be so proud. How does it work? You sing for them?
Yeah, they crush my dreams.
They won't. You're gonna be great. You've been saving money, right?
Yeah, for an apartment, not some stupid audition.
Now you buy that ticket. Because this is your dream.
Amber holds her mother's gaze.
You see, things are looking up. We're gonna be great.
Amber keeps her gaze fixed on Becky.
Without Oliver.
Becky closes her eyes and nods.
Okay.
Okay.
The next day, Amber rides her bike. At Rosemont Court, she plays chess with Joan in a common area. Joan moves a dark rook as Amber stares at the board.
So what's with you today? You're not yapping all over the game like you usually do.
Nothing. I'm just thinking.
About that boyfriend of yours?
I don't have a boyfriend. Ty's a friend. We're buds.
Buds. Have you hooked up with him yet?
Joan?
Get over it and quit wasting your time thinking. Youth is precious, so you should enjoy it.
That's the most positive thing I think I've ever heard you say.
Well, it's just another way of saying that life is nasty, brutish, and short. And then you die.
That's my Joni.
Amber moves a white knight.
Ooh.
Next, Amber cracks an egg into a pan. Ricky sits across from her.
Okay, Ricky. Egg puns. Go.
Okay. Well, I only know a few, so this will be over easy. omelette, you use that one if you want.
Okay.
You can poach it.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's funny because I usually only eat eggs around holidays.
Donna enters the kitchen.
Good morning, honey.
Good morning, Mom.
Hi.
Sorry, did we wake you up?
No, I was up already. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah.
Donna steps away. Amber puts the egg on a plate, then stands with Donna in the vestibule.
I noticed you've been using my makeup.
Oh. Donna, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I used to dip into my sister's makeup all the time, but it's kind of gross, so I got you this.
Donna holds up a full makeup bag with transparent pink sides. She beams as Amber takes it.
Thank you. But I can't take this.
What do you mean? Sure you can.
No, I don't wear makeup. I was practicing. I'm really sorry.
It's a gift.
I know, and it's really great. I don't need it.
Amber hands it back. Donna's smile fades.
Amber, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm great. Never better.
At school, Amber sits at a table under a sign reading, "Bring back the tuba." She holds a clipboard as she speaks with various students.
Co-ed-tree. Sweet. Thank you. The tuba's a great cause, and I know that you shine up there.
I don't have any real skills, Amber.
Sure you do. When you close your eyes, what do you imagine yourself doing?
Tommy, you're gonna kill it.
But what if I eat it?
You won't.
Okay, bye.
Awesome. Great. I can't wait to hear. Thanks so much.
In the drama room.
Okay, so Ricky's gonna do a pun off.
Put me down as Lingo Star.
I love it. Chad, you're gonna wow us with some thespianism, right?
What's the plan?
Awesome. Ty?
I thought I'd stage manage. Help out with the behind the scenes stuff.
Come on, you've gotta do something up there. You're so talented.
He's only good at soccer, as far as we know.
He does have some talent.
Exactly, and this is your chance to show everyone how very talented you are and also charismatic. So, think about it, please.
Okay, yeah, I'll think about it.
All right, Jordan!
I'll be performing an Argentine tango.
An Argentine tango?
Correct.
Well, I can finally tell you, my sister watches a little too much Dancing with the Stars.
A, that is a lie. B, please put me down for an Argentine tango.
You do realize it takes two human beings to tango, right?
Put me down as Jordan and TBD.
Okay, Frankie?
Me? No. This is for you guys. I'm not gonna get involved.
What?
You are kidding me?
Really? You have to help us out.
Anything.
Are you sure?
Yes, we're sure.
All right, I'll think of something. All the world's a stage. The end, right? Is that what it is? I don't know.
I have work to do, guys. I don't know.
Later.
240, 260, 280, 300.
Okay, you know the school can help foot the bill for this. There's this discretionary fund for students in need.
Okay, but I'm not in need. I am flush.
Amber points at the computer.
All right. One ticket to Pittsburgh, coming right up. Carnegie Mellon will not know what hit them.
At night, Amber walks through the school bus yard. She eyes a handwritten note taped to the side of the bus she sleeps in. Not safe. Meet me at our spot. She pulls it off the bus. Next, she enters the restaurant where she wrote her budget. Becky sits at a table, wearing a solemn expression. Amber takes a seat across from her. Amber stares at her mother. Becky meets her gaze.
What's going on?
They found out.
Who found
him? What do you think? I got fired. Good riddance.
You're drunk.
I got fired. I got fired. I had two drinks. I'm not drunk.
How did they find out?
I don't know.
Did you say something? Did we leave something behind?
It doesn't matter. They found out.
Becky leans back and checks her phone.
Who is that?
Oliver's coming to pick us up.
I can't believe it.
Amber!
Amber storms out with Bobby in her backpack. She jogs away from the restaurant. Becky remains seated. Now, Amber locks her bike to a park bench. She sets her backpack on the ground and takes Bobby out of it.
Hey.
She sits on the bench and removes her bike helmet. Bobby climbs onto her lap.
I know, I'm sorry.
She takes out a hardcover notebook and opens to a page bookmarked with a photo strip. The photos show a younger Amber with her mom and a man wearing the Carnegie Mellon hoodie. In the photos, Amber, Becky, and the man beam at each other and grin toward the camera. Amber gazes down with a somber expression. The next morning, Amber lies across the bench with Bobby at her legs. Amber lifts her head and sits up. As she takes Bobby into her arms, she glances at the ground where her backpack used to be. She stands and searches around the bench. She looks under the bench. Amber sits. She wears a deflated expression and gazes out ahead. Now she sits on the porch of a house with Bobby in her lap and her bike to the side. Ty stands in front of her.
My backpack. I had my money in there. My school books. My dad's hoodie. It's all gone.
It's okay.
Ty sits next to her on the top step.
Hey, it's okay.
No, it's not. I don't know what to do, Ty. My mom's gonna be looking for me. And I can't go back to Oliver's.
Let's think about this, okay? Today's Saturday. We don't have school on Monday.
Ty looks downward.
I have an idea. Just trust me.
Now, Ty's van crosses a long bridge. On the other side, orange and green trees cover hilly terrain. Then it drives on an empty two-lane road flanked with greenery. Inside, Ty glances at Amber, who keeps her gaze down and away. They drive on a narrow road with no markings, surrounded by a lush forest. They wind around a gravel driveway and park in front of a secluded two-story house. Inside, Ty sets two grocery bags on a kitchen counter as Amber explores the spacious modern home with Bobby in her arms.
You call me
she steps up to the glass doors of a dining room and smiles as the sun shines on her face. She walks past a standalone fireplace separating the dining room from a living room and sets Bobby on the floor. She approaches a grand piano on one side of the room and runs her hand over the sleek black lid. She looks toward Ty, who smiles from the kitchen as he unpacks groceries. She returns the smile. In a bedroom, Bobby lies on a sweater on a bed. He picks his head up as a recently showered Amber enters wrapped in a towel. She pets him, then checks out a folded duster cardigan on the bed.
It's a really important audition. I thought that the peace and quiet would do Amber a lot of good. Plus, we've got such a good piano up here, I don't see why we wouldn't use it.
Amber peeks out toward the living room.
Yeah. No, I get that. I'm sorry. You're right. I should have told you.
Ty holds a phone to his ear.
She's just a friend, Mom. Nobody's going to be partying up here. We're going to be practicing.
Amber smiles. Later, Ty sits at the piano. He sets Amber's handwritten sheet music in front of him.
Feels like home.
Amber stands in front of him, now wearing the cardigan.
My dad wrote it.
Ty looks up and nods slightly.
He was an amazing musician and singer.
Runs in the family, I guess.
Amber shrugs.
You want to try it?
She nods.
Yeah. All right, ready when you are.
Amber stares downward, then shifts her weight and closes her eyes.
Oh, I saw the truth when I first laid eyes on you. I didn't know it, but my life had changed in ways I couldn't rearrange, and all I saw was you.
Amber opens her eyes and looks at Ty.
You burned bright like fire in the pouring rain, those things I couldn't explain. Oh, what I saw. Take me, I'm ready. Go slow, but go steady to a place that we can call our own. I wanna know what feels like home. Take me.
Gazes at Ty as he plays. Ty meets her gaze with a smile. Amber rests her elbow on the piano.
How did it sound?
Terrible. I'm sorry, but you have zero talent. It was just That was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for you.
Yeah, you're the worst.
At night, Ty and Amber sit outside by a small fire pit. Amber roasts a marshmallow on a skewer.
You wrote that song for my mom.
Amber watches the fire as Ty watches her. String lights hang from trees overhead.
I was 12. It was a heart thing. Never even knew anything was wrong with it. My mom tried to keep it together. She just didn't have any family around. So little by little, things started to go downhill. When we got evicted, we moved in with Oliver. The first night we got there, they went out drinking. She's been sober for 5 months.
Amber's eyes shine.
Then one night he hit her. And we moved out. To the bus.
We're gonna figure something out, all right?
Yeah.
The next morning, the forest reflects off a lake in front of the secluded house. Inside, Amber stirs gently in her bed. She opens her eyes and smiles. She stretches her arms. Bobby walks up to her face with his tail wagging.
Good morning.
She pets him. Now, Amber, Ty, and Bobby walk along the rocky shore of the lake. Ty holds a stone. He chucks it into the water, but it fails to skip. He puts his fists on his hips. Then Ty carries Bobby as they walk. Inside, they practice the song, with Ty at the piano and Amber standing beside it. Then she sits on the bench with him and throws her head back with laughter. They sit together on the shore. Amber gazes at Ty as he speaks. They move back toward the house. At night, rain trickles down the glass doors. Inside, Ty and Amber stand side by side, gazing at each other.
Thanks. Been really great.
Ty grins, then bumps his hip against hers.
Anytime.
Amber takes her hand out of her pocket and interlaces her fingers with Ty's. In the morning, Ty and Amber get into the van. She carries Bobby in her arm. In the driver's seat, Ty gazes at her.
You sure about this?
Yeah. I trust Anna.
Next, Amber gets out of the van and proceeds down a back alley between rows of houses. The van pulls away. Donna sits with her laptop in her kitchen. Amber enters through the sliding back door.
Oh, hey, Amber. Ricky's over at Chad and Jordan's practicing for the variety show.
Amber sets down Bobby.
Yeah, I actually came to see you.
Okay.
Amber shifts her gaze.
I need to tell you something.
Later, Becky and Amber sit together at a circular table. Donna stands nearby.
I don't understand what's going on here.
We just want to discuss some things with you, Becky.
Well, I came here to pick up my daughter. because she was missing all weekend and I was worried sick and I don't really want to discuss anything with you. So, Amber, let's go.
Amber's eyes shift from Becky to Donna.
Don't look at her. What are you looking at her for?
Amber wants you to know she doesn't feel comfortable living at Oliver's.
With a rigid expression, Becky turns toward Amber.
Oh. So you two talked about everything, huh?
Amber avoids her mother's gaze.
Well, it may not be comfortable, but that is where we live now.
I don't want to live there again. I don't feel safe.
You felt safer living on a bus?
I just think...
I don't care what you think. Amber, let's go.
Becky stands.
Donna says I can stay here for a few nights until we figure this out.
No, absolutely not. No.
It's okay,
no,
Becky.
It's not. Who do you think you are? Really? It is not okay. She is my daughter. She stays with me.
Calm down.
I am calm.
I'm not going anywhere with you until you move out of Oliver's.
She turns to Donna.
If you keep her here, I'm calling the cops.
Well, maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe we all need to have a conversation about this.
Becky's eyes glisten.
I'm the mother. I'm the one that keeps things together.
Really, Mom? You do that? I had no idea.
I'm trying. You can't see that I'm trying to take care of you. I'm doing my best.
Well, your best isn't good enough.
Becky gapes.
Okay. Then stay here. Stay here for the rest of your life for all I care.
She storms away. Amber looks at Donna.
Mom.
Outside, Becky gets in the pickup. Amber rushes after her.
Mom. Don't go back there, please.
Then where do I go? What am I supposed to do?
You need help. And we can get you help. We can start over.
Start over.
Becky shakes her head.
Life is so much more complicated than you think, baby.
Amber's brow tenses. She steps back from the truck. Becky drives away. Amber stands in the road, staring after her. At night, she sits on Donna's couch, cradling Bobby on her lap. A pillow and blanket rest on either side of her. She looks up as Donna approaches.
You got everything you need?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really sorry for putting you in the middle of all this.
Hey, no. You have nothing, nothing to be sorry about. Try to get some rest, okay?
Okay.
Donna rubs Amber's shoulder.
Good night.
Good night, Donna.
Later, Bobby snoozes at Amber's feet as she stares up at the ceiling with shining eyes. She rolls onto her side and keeps her eyes open. In the morning, Amber sits in class.
The executive branch had three departments. There was the Department of State, which was led by Thomas Jefferson. There was the Department of Treasury, which was led by...
A man in glasses approaches the teacher.
I need to speak with Amber. Oh, sure. Amber? Okay, that's enough.
Amber starts to rise.
Amber, bring your things.
Next, the man in glasses leads Amber into an office where two cops stand on the opposite side of a desk.
Have a seat.
Amber sits.
Amber, this is Officer Rozick and Officer Garland.
I know what this is about. My mom called, right?
The cops look toward the man in the glasses.
I'll be right outside.
He exits.
Amber. Your mother, Rebecca Appleton, was involved in an automobile accident early this morning. We're sorry to have to tell you, but she died of her injuries on the way to the hospital.
Amber stares forward. Her face remains stoic.
Amber, do you have any friends or relatives you can stay with tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll need to contact them. We also need you to come with us to answer a few questions.
Amber's gaze drifts.
Was she driving?
She was the passenger. The driver also died in the collision.
Did anyone else get hurt?
It was a single vehicle accident.
He was drunk. Oliver, he was drunk, right? They both were.
The cause of the accident is still being investigated.
I'm sorry, I need to use the bathroom.
Amber rushes into a bathroom stall. She stares at the closed door, then sits on the toilet. She grips her thighs. Her body shudders. She leans forward and lowers her head. Sometime later, on Donna's couch, Amber opens a cardboard storage box labeled Becky Personal. She picks up a book and stares at the cover, The Poetry of Emily Dickinson. She puts it aside and picks up a leather-bound photo album. Inside, photos show Amber as a child and with her mom and dad. She smiles faintly as she flips through the album. Another photo shows Amber blowing out candles on a birthday cake as her mom and dad watch. She turns the page. Photos show her dad wearing glasses. Another shows Becky holding Bobby. She closes the album and picks up a thick manila envelope labeled Save for Amber. She opens the envelope and pulls out a stack of 7-inch vinyl records. On top, Al Green's Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Below that, Baby Love, Ask Any Girl by The Supremes. Below that, Shirley Ellis, The Clapping Song, Clap Pat Clap Slap. Amber stares down at the red album sleeve with a black and white picture of the singer. She lifts her gaze. On another day, she sits alone on a couch in the drama room. Her friends chat nearby.
What do you think, Amber?
Huh? Should I go before or after Leah's juggling act?
It's whatever you guys want.
That's fine.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Ty writes in a notebook. Next, Amber washes dishes at the donut shop. Lloyd, the cashier, looks over at her from the next room. She doesn't notice. Now, at the ESL class.
When a verb ends in a silent E, drop the E and add ED to form the past tense. Joke to joked, hope to hoped.
Aren't we going to sing, Amber?
No. Not today.
Oh, but we love singing.
Amber grabs her jacket and rushes out. Next, she sits on a porch with Ty standing close by.
I bet you're sick of people asking you if you're okay.
Amber stares downward.
I ran away from her. I went to your fancy vacation house. I had fun while she needed me.
Amber, this is not your fault.
Then I came back and I pushed her away.
She looks up at Ty.
This is on me.
He holds her gaze and tightens his lips. Later, she lies awake on the couch, clutching the pillow and breathing heavily. She sits up. She stands. Now, she rides her bike along a damp street. She stoops to pass through the hole in the chain link fence and walks across the school bus parking lot. She stands in front of a school bus, staring at it. Her eyes glisten with tears. Her eyelids flit up and down as a tear rolls down her cheek. The next day, Amber sits in the drama classroom, staring down at a prepackaged lunch tray in her lap. Mr. Franks watches her from his desk, then approaches.
Hey.
Amber looks up.
Ready for Pittsburgh tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Listen, I can only imagine how hard it is for you right now. But, you know, your talent, the reason you earned this opportunity, that's still there. That doesn't go away. It's still in here. So, the pain that you're feeling, you know, the grief, I think you just channel it. Channel it, put it into your song. Because that's what an artist does. And you're an artist.
Amber offers a tight-lipped grin.
Thank you, Mr. Franks.
You have to finish your food. You can't just stare at it.
Later, she eats dinner with Donna and Ricky.
So your flight's at 9. I figure we leave for the airport at 7 a.m. the latest, maybe even 6:30.
Amber nods.
And you're all set up for the dorm, and the student's going to show you around.
Yeah.
You have enough money for the cab?
Yeah, I'm good.
Later, Amber lies on the couch with her eyes closed. Amber stirs. She looks toward her feet. Amber sits up and knits her brow. She turns on a lamp and glances around.
Bobby?
She moves into a hallway. At the other end, Bobby lies on the floor.
Bobby!
She kneels beside him. Now, Amber sits in a vet's office without Bobby. She stares down at the floor. Amber stands as the doctor enters.
How is he?
They stand on opposite sides of an exam table.
Bobby has a mass on his spleen. That's what's been causing his discomfort. A mass? Is that cancer? I don't know yet. But either way, the treatment is exactly the same. We'll need to do surgery to remove the mass. If that's successful, he could make a full recovery.
Amber stares past the vet, her eyes shifting slightly. Now she returns to Donna's, gently cradling Bobby in her arms.
Amber, where have you been? You missed your flight.
Amber opens her mouth, then closes it.
Is everything okay?
No.
Later, she holds a phone to her ear.
So that's $12 an hour? And the most I could work is a 10-hour shift?
She consults a handwritten budget in her notebook.
And overtime is a time and a half.
The photo strip of her parents rests on the page.
Okay. Thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate it.
Ricky holds Bobby. Donna enters.
How's he feeling?
I gave him another painkiller.
Donna strokes Bobby's chin.
Well, I explained everything to the admissions office, and they were very understanding. I think they can get you another audition slot.
Amber presses her lips together and rubs her pen.
I'm not going.
Amber, if it's about the plane ticket, you don't have to...
I can't audition, Donna. Not until Bobby gets better.
Lloyd has hired Amber full-time at the donut shop. Also, she added to her hours at the retirement home. If she works 70 hours a week at minimum wage, she could pay for Bobby's surgery in 10 and a half weeks.
You can't work 70 hours a week and go to school.
I'm dropping out.
Dropping out? Amber, honey, no, you can't do that. You can't throw everything away.
Look, Donna, I really appreciate everything that you've done for
me. It's not about that. It's about you and your future. You have so much to look forward to and so much talent. I can't
let... Stop!
Amber stands.
You're not her.
She walks away. Her eyes shine. Ricky looks at his mom.
You're not who?
Donna avoids his gaze. At the retirement home, Amber wheels a cart with bus bins through an empty dining area. Ty enters as she collects dirty dishes and cups from a table. As she looks up, he stops in the doorway, then approaches.
What's going on?
She averts her gaze.
You can't just drop out of school.
Ty, look, I am so tired. I just can't right now.
She walks to another table.
Look, I'm really sorry about Bobby. He's awesome. And I know that he's really important to you, but...
Don't! Don't say he's just a dog. Because he's not. Not to me.
Okay. You need money, right? Let me help you. I can ask my parents.
I'm handling
it. Listen to me. It can be a loan, okay? You can pay them back slowly while you finish school.
Ty, stop! I have this under control.
Damn it, Amber. You are so stubborn. You do so much for other people, but when you need just a little bit of help, you push us all away. What is so bad about needing help? Like, if you don't do this on your own, you're weak?
Good job, Ty. You figured it out.
She walks past him.
I bet part of you's glad that you missed the audition.
She stops and turns.
Bobby got sick, and you got an excuse to punish yourself for letting your mom down, which you didn't do. You're suffering. You're suffering, and you won't admit it. You expect the rest of us to sit by and watch you go down the drain, and that is not fair.
Not fair? I'm sorry, that must really suck, life not being fair. You know what you should do to make yourself feel better? I don't know, you should... hang out with your two parents at your vacation home. Maybe that'll help you get over life and its vast unfairness.
Amber.
Leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Amber glares at Ty. He holds her gaze. Ty walks away. On a new day, Amber works the counter at the donut shop.
Thank you.
Lloyd shows her how to fry donuts.
Dreamcatcher, rearview mirror.
And you slowly.
Hasn't caught a thing yet.
She flips the donuts in oil with two large sticks. Up front, she bags a customer's order. At the retirement home, she mops the floor of a hallway. At Donna's, Amber's watch alarm goes off while it's still dark outside. She sits up and turns on a lamp. Next, she turns on the neon open sign at the donut shop. She puts a filter in the coffee machine and runs it. At Donna's, she stuffs a pill into a dog treat and feeds it to Bobby. Ooh, locks the door of the donut shop and shuts off the open sign. Then she counts singles on a page of her open notebook. She writes in a figure to her budget. Bobby sits on her lap. She gently pets him. At the retirement home, she collects garbage bags. Then Joan watches TV in her apartment. She glances up at Amber, who sits nearby, not paying attention.
Pizza.
Well, I'm making dinner.
Okay, I'll just put it in the fridge.
You know, it's a lot easier watching it this way.
Amber looks up.
Hi, honey.
What do you mean? Well, my ears don't hurt from all your loud singing and talking and terrible jokes. In fact, if you happen to see the old Amber, well, you can tell her that it was a living hell just being around her, all that disgusting cheer and helpfulness, optimism.
Joan's eyes flick back and forth to Amber.
Well, she was insufferable.
Amber looks up and watches the TV. Joan compresses her lips as she watches Amber. At the donut shop, a machine mixes dough. Amber stands at a counter in the kitchen. At night, she wipes down a table. Ty enters, wearing a bow tie and waistcoat under his jacket. Amber looks up.
Hey.
Hi.
Ty stares at her eagerly.
I can't go.
He moves toward her.
You've been putting this show on for the last 3 years. It's the last one you'll ever get to see. It's your night.
Sorry. I have to finish my shift.
No, you don't.
They both look toward Lloyd at the counter.
We're closed.
No, we close at midnight.
Usually, but we're out of donuts.
Ty and Amber look at a large tray of donuts in Lloyd's hands. Lloyd glances at them.
These have been impounded.
Lloyd.
Amber.
He sets down the tray.
Go. Be with your friends. I got this.
Ty faces Amber with a grin. Next, Amber rides in Ty's van. As they approach the school, she eyes a long line of people making their way into the auditorium. She glances toward Ty, then back at the line of attendees. Ty parks.
Why are all those people here?
Ty looks out the windows.
You must be really into supporting brass instruments, I guess.
Ty, that's way too many people for the variety show.
You think it's a lot of people? I feel like there's a normal amount of people. Okay, all right, yeah.
She stares at him, wide-eyed.
We ended up changing the proceeds to going to Bobby Big Boy's surgery.
What?
I know. Yeah, I know. Look, before this gets out of hand, I want to say something. I want to say that I'm sorry, okay? I want to say that I'm sorry about the other... I was way too hard on you. I was frustrated. I was frustrated because I care about you. A lot. All of these people care about you. They showed up for you, okay? So, for once, you're gonna have to deal with that, all right?
What if I don't know how?
Ty's expression softens. He licks his lips.
Think of it as a gift. Okay? Think of it as a gift that you're giving us by letting us help you.
Amber closes her eyes. Tear stains mark her cheek.
Amber.
She wipes her face, then meets his gaze.
We won't let you down.
Next, Ty leads Amber through a door in the back of the auditorium. Silver star-shaped decorations adorn the entryway. Ty takes Amber's hand. She smiles. They walk toward the front row of the audience. A banner above the stage reads, "Save Bobby Big Boy." Standing in the front row, Donna holds Bobby. She turns and smiles as Amber approaches. Amber pauses, then steps forward and wraps her arms around her. Donna hands Bobby to Amber.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Have a seat. The show's about to start.
Amber looks toward Ty.
Where are you going to sit?
A spotlight shines on Ty. Amber watches as he gets onto the stage before a closed curtain. Amber sits.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Save Bobby Big Boy Variety Show.
The curtain opens, revealing an elaborate sign that reads, "The Variety Show."
Now, we have some amazing acts lined up for you tonight, but before we get to those, I wanted to make a few opening remarks. As we all know, Amber Appleton puts together this variety show every year to raise money for various school causes. She's also helped the Drama Club mount their productions, lobbied the school board for better wheelchair access, and has made me countless delicious fried egg sandwiches.
Amber beams.
She teaches. She volunteers. She's sort of like a rock star.
Her eyes shine.
Just by being here tonight, she has helped me get over my massive, massive stage fright. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe. I still might throw up. We'll see. Now, even though it's really tough for her to admit, Amber needs us. Our goal tonight is to raise $8,000 so that her dog, Bobby Big Boy, can get a life-saving operation. We have raised over $2,000 in ticket sales alone so far.
A screen displays the amount raised and the funding goal of $8,000.
So please, get out your phones and tweet, Instagram, Facebook, live stream, anything you can to help get the word out. So, let's get to our first act.
The lights go down as Ty leaves the stage. Purple stage lights shine. On stage, Jordan performs a tango routine with a life-size doll of a man in a suit. She manipulates its limbs as she dances. Amber gapes. Then, Chad performs Shakespeare with Mr. Franks.
Do you bite your thumb at me, sir? I do bite my thumb, sir.
Do you bite your thumb at me, sir?
Two girls in yellow dresses and purple top hats tap dance in synchrony. In her tango, Jordan whips her hair back.
No, sir, I do not bite my thumb at you, sir, but I do bite my thumb, sir.
Jordan rubs the doll's hand on her shoulder. She and the doll look back and forth at each other. Then, the skateboarder lands a kickflip on stage. He holds his arms over his head.
Do you quarrel, sir?
Quarrel, sir.
The doll's feet move with Jordan's attached at the toe. Another girl juggles scarves while balancing a spoon on her nose. Jordan spins with the doll and moves across the stage. Chad and Mr. Franks draw swords.
Draw if you be man.
Jordan strikes a pose with the doll.
Yes, Jordan!
She bows. Ty returns to the stage.
All right, let's refresh our page and see where we are.
Almost 5,000.
Yes, we're getting there. Please, keep spreading the word. Next up, we have the funniest man alive. Give it up for Ricky, Lingo Star Roberts.
Ricky takes the stage in a tuxedo.
I'm here to talk to you about man's best friend. Well, one man's best friend, mine. She's a human woman, not a dog. But she's got a great one in Bobby Big Boy. Things lately, they got a little rough for these two. But we're here to give Triple B a new leash on life. I could say lopsolutely amazing things about Amber, but you all might tear your hair out. And I don't want Amber to sit there and Rottweiler friend Schnauzer off in front of everyone. So embarrassed of all the Shih Tzu here that she Pekingese eyes out from behind her hands. I'll keep things pug-rezzing for a span you'll be able to handle, and then retriever. Amber, you must have known I would take this speech and bass it on the fact that you're a great Dane and my best friend in the whole world. Thank you.
Ricky bows and steps back. Amber smiles wide.
All right, let's take another look at where we are.
The screen refreshes.
Almost $6,000. Yes. Let's keep those pledges coming in. And now, for our last act of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, the Korean Divas, accompanied by our very own McKinley High Marching Band and their brand new tuba.
The curtain opens on the older women of Amber's ESL class in pink sequin dresses. They shake their hips to the beat.
3, 6, 9, the bullet straight line, the monkey to the backbone, the streak a line, no, the monkey got choked, and they always have one in the little room.
Donna claps along. A beaming Amber bounces in her seat. Plays a new tuba.
How'd they get the tuba?
I don't know. Ricky said something about the dark web.
Father Chi dances with the old women. Other performers join them on stage, dancing and clapping along. The audience stands and applauds.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Korean Divas and the McKinley High Marching Band!
The performers bow.
Okay, let's take another look.
The screen refreshes.
$6,304. Wow. I'd like to thank all the acts, everybody who contributed. It's been an awesome night. Thank you so, so much. Now, we didn't quite make our goal, but we're going to keep the page open, so please keep spreading the word.
Ty looks at Amber and mouths, "Want to come up here?" She shakes her head.
Everybody, our guest of honor, Amber Appleton.
Amber hands Bobby to Donna and joins Ty and the others on stage.
Wow. This is overwhelming. I'm not 100% sure this is happening yet. But I'm so happy that the marching band got their tuba.
Amber gazes out at the crowd.
Hope is a thing with feathers. My mom loved that poem. We'd read it at bedtime for as long as I can remember. It's about finding hope, even in the darkest of times. My mom always had hope. And so did I. Until I lost it. But you all helped me find it again. I don't know how to repay you. But I guess that's the point. I don't have to repay you. I just have to take the gift that you've given me and use it. And I will. So thank you. I'm so grateful.
Amber hands the microphone back to Ty.
Should we take one last look at our total?
The screen refreshes. The new total reads $206,844.
Is this a joke?
Ty looks back and forth.
Can we get a refresh on that, please?
The refreshed screen shows the same total. Donna gapes, then smiles. Amber stares at the screen. Ty faces her.
I think it's real.
Ty, did you...
No. No, I promise you, I had nothing... I don't know.
Amber holds her arms folded over her chest. She shifts her weight.
Looks like we got an anonymous donation of $200,000, bringing our total to $206,844.
Amber's mouth hangs open. She stares in disbelief. The performers clap for her. In the audience, Donna's eyes shine. Her lips spread into a grin. Ty gazes at Amber, pressing his lips together. A tear rolls down Amber's cheek. She covers her mouth with both hands. She looks out at the crowd and smiles. At the retirement home, Mr. Linder sits at a table in the common area.
Hi, Mr. Linder. It's me, Amber Appleton. Do you remember me?
Are we related?
No. I work here on the weekends, but I had some extra donuts, so I thought I'd stop by. Want one?
Mr. Linder reaches into the donut box. In Joan's room, she offers Amber a flat, rectangular present.
What's this?
Well, just open it.
Amber takes the present and examines it.
Well, for God's sakes, it's not a bomb. Open it.
Amber pulls open the wrapping paper, revealing a framed photo. The photo shows Ty and Amber on stage at the variety show moments after the big donation.
Told you I'd make you cry.
Amber looks up, her eyes shining.
Joan. No.
Yes. What am I supposed to do with all that dough? Line my coffin with it? I don't have any family left. Well, that's not exactly true. Actually, you're my family. And you can make better use of it than anyone else I know.
Amber lowers her gaze. Tears fall down her cheeks.
Oh, God, no, no more waterworks. I only wanted to see it the one time.
Well, I can't help but.
Amber wipes her eyes with a big smile.
Come here.
Joan wraps her arms around Amber. Amber rests her head against Joan's chest. Now, Amber sleeps on the couch. Donna rubs her shoulder.
Wake up, sweetie.
Amber stirs and looks up at her with a grin. Donna steps away. Amber keeps her head on the pillow and looks down toward Bobby, who lies at her feet with a cone around his head. Amber sits up.
Hey, Bobby.
She puts him on her lap. Outside, Amber approaches a car with Donna, Ty, and Ricky, who holds Bobby. Amber hugs Ricky.
Bye.
Bye.
She pets Bobby.
Bye, Bobby.
She presses her head against Bobby's, then turns toward Ty. Amber and Ty embrace.
You got this.
She nods. Donna waits by the driver's seat. Amber and Ty separate. She kisses him. Now, Amber looks out the window of a plane. Her notebook rests open in front of her with a flower drawing on one page and a sketch of Bobby on the other. She gazes at the photo strip of her beaming mother, father, and younger self. A smile touches Amber's lips. In Pittsburgh, Amber rides in the back seat of a car, gazing out the window at the city. She wears a collared shirt with a blazer and dark pink lipstick. The car pulls up to the Carnegie Mellon University School of Drama. Amber gets out and enters the building. She sits on a chair in a wide corridor with ornate decorations along its high ceiling. She studies sheet music in her hand, then lifts her gaze. Amber purses her lips and lets out a long breath.
Amber Appleton?
She looks to her right and nods.
That's me.
Lines form a music staff on a black background. A handwritten title appears on the staff. All together now. Audio description provided by International Digital Center, written by Stephen Christopher, voiced by Liz Gutman. Credits: Netflix presents a Temple Hill Entertainment production, a Gotham Group Entertainment production, a Thunderhead Pictures production, a Brett Haley film, Auli'i Cravalho, Renzi Feliz, Judy Reyes, Justina Machado, Taylor Richardson, C.S. Lee, Anthony Jacques, Gerald Isaac Waters, with Fred Armisen, and Carol Burnett. Casting by Tiffany Little Canfield, CSA. Music by Keegan DeWitt. Music supervisors, Rob Lowry, Joseph Rudge. Costume designer, Amanda Needham. Edited by Molly Goldstein. Production designer, Bruce Curtis. Director of photography, Rob C. Gibbons. Executive producers, Jonathan Montpere, Wick Godfrey. Produced by Ellen Goldsmith-Vane, Lee Stolman, Isaac Klausner, Marty Bowen. Based on the book written by Matthew Quick. Written by Matthew Quick and Brett Haley and Mark Bash. Directed by Brett Haley.
Ordinary town, I wanna feel it all with you.
I'm so tired of trying to fight away the tears I couldn't hide and say that all I want is you. Take me, I'm ready. Go slow, but go steady to a place that we can call our own. I wanna know what feels like home to you.
Copyright 2020 Netflix US LLC. All rights reserved. All together now.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.